everyone, you're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hurley, and on today's show, I'm delighted to be joined by Seamus Brady, of course, from Onclea, in the first show of 2024, and we're going to discuss the All-Ireland Club semi-finals. This begins one between Castlehaven and St. Bridget's in Semple Stadium in Thurles, and the other, obviously, the big one between Kilmacud Crokes and Wattie Graham's Glen in Park Essener in Newry in County Down. So two very enthralling games to look forward to, and of course the pre-season competitions have started. We won't discuss them games, but we will discuss a controversy that happened on Tuesday night between Wexford and Wicklow. We'll discuss that on the show, and we'll discuss the end of year awards for 2023 that I hosted on my Instagram page as well. So Seamus, 2023 over, 2024 started, and after all the movies and things that I said, the Home Alones, the Christmas movies, and then the turkey and ham for the dinners and Christmas, the presents and everything, we're back into GA action now. So looking forward to the year.
Yeah, absolutely, Matthew, thanks for having me on again. Like, a big year 2024, like, for the GA. We'll see what it has in store for us. Obviously last year was full of surprises left, right and center. I feel like this year we'll have some as well. We're off to a cracking start with the weekend that we've had, and then the stories coming out with the floodlights and everything. We've already had our first big mistake of the year. This weekend as well, obviously the sequel between Glen and Kilmacud Crokes is probably one of the most watched club games of the last decade because of the history in the background between those two sides. Everybody's going to want to see them lock horns again. Castlehaven against Bridget's as well is a real, like, it's a clash of two teams that I think it's fair to say have gone above and beyond this season what a lot of people would have expected them to get to at the beginning of the year. So it's two teams that are, you know, shooting for the stars. Kilmacud Crokes and Glen are back where they were last year, only they're up against each other in a completely different setting, semi-final, and it's up in Newry instead of Croke Park. And obviously, we'll talk about that, but it's really geared up to be a hell of an opening weekend. Obviously, we had the pre-season competitions, Waterford and Kerry. They had a very interesting hurling match there, quite feisty. On top of that, the O'Byrne Cup, we'll get into that. Once they found working floodlights, Wexford beat Wicklow quite comfortably. And there's more O'Byrne Cup action, and obviously there's the Walsh Cup on tomorrow and everything like that. But good start to the year.
And we're noting the McGrath Cups tonight as well. After this podcast, I'll probably watch Cork and Clare, the McGrath Cup. It's on in Clare Castle, I think, in an Astro pitch. So welcome to the winter, lads. But we will get into the week of the GAA. And before we get into the preseason competition controversy, we'll talk about the 2023 award winners, which were hosted by myself on Gaelic Statsman and Instagram. And obviously yourself and Aaron hosted shows for end of year reviews. And I just hosted an awards thing on my page. And we'll discuss the first winner here, if I can load the photos. I have the photos on here. Sorry about that. But there was some interesting winners. There definitely was some brilliant winners of the awards. The goal of the year, if I could bring up the photo. If I can't, I'd show you the winner there. It was Sean O'Shea anyway against Tyrone. That kick from David Clifford probably being the main source of the goal. And it was a brilliant goal, really, Sean O'Shea's goal. And what's even more ironic, me and you reacted to this on your channel. Goal against Kerry and Tyrone. And we actually didn't probably notice that it was a brilliant goal at the time. The brilliant pass by David Clifford. We were probably focused too much on the Tyrone defending on that particular day. But the Sean O'Shea goal, worthy winner in your opinion?
Yeah, I think the pass from Clifford definitely grabbed the headlines for it. Look, that was a goal that really put the nail in the coffin for Tyrone, like another nail in the coffin. I remember Dermot O'Connor's goal as well. It was brilliant. That, like, those two really made me sit up and take notice of just how easily Kerry had dispensed of Tyrone. Like, Tyrone, down through the years, had their number in games like that. And it seemed like the type of game that might be perfect to burst the Kerry balloon, and wasn't to be. Like, I know we all predicted Tyrone to win it. That one definitely came back to bite me more than any prediction I probably ever made on sports. I was very confident that Tyrone would win, and they didn't even turn up. But that is to do with how good the Kerry performance was as well. Because at halftime, Tyrone, you know, there was nearly a scuffle going down the tunnel. Tyrone looked like they were pumped and ready, and they came back out for the second half, and Kerry put them to the sword. That goal was one of the key scores in putting it away. In terms of, like, a football goal of the year, I'm not as confident in it as years gone by. I feel like there wasn't a screamingly obvious candidate. Like, a James Carr versus Galway, for example, where like right off the bat, the minute it happens, you're like, that's the goal of the year right there that we've just seen. There's other ones that like personal favourites in terms of their significance, like Ryan O'Toole's from Monaghan against Tyrone is like one of my favourites just for the significance of that goal. That beat Tyrone, that knocked Tyrone out of the Ulster Championship. And look, while we're at it, like fair play to you, like I ran through all the lists, there's a hell of a lot of candidates for it. But I do think it's a good shout for it to take the goal of the year anyway.
Definitely is. And ironically enough, James Carr was actually the runner-up in this against Galway. It was a brilliant goal from outside the box, definitely. But award really, before we get on to the next award, David Clifford's pass. It was probably one of the passes of the decade or even the century. Like, it was just incredible when you think about look at the replays. Three Tyrone players were closing in on him down near the sideline. They were going to banjax him over the line. And then he just produced a moment of brilliance into Tony Brosnan and into Sean O'Shea. And Sean O'Shea had a lot to do from that that position as well. He had to round Niall Mark and he had to round another Tyrone player to bang it home. But to be honest, out of this goal, and it's going quite weird in a way, it's probably a player that didn't even assist the goal that's probably most known when the goal was scored.
Yeah, and like that's one of those things that, look, Clifford produced that pass and O'Shea finished it off. And like the one goes with the other and they complemented each other beautifully. Like Clifford's pass probably would be remembered because of the status that he holds. But like you see so many wonderful passes in Gaelic games where then the score isn't taken and the pass gets forgotten. But like the fact that Shawnee finished it off made that, you know, pass from Clifford immortal because it was the spark of genius in the game where he wasn't necessarily playing very well. Like Paddy Hamsey was doing a very, very good job on him on the day and he managed to produce a spark of genius out of nowhere to kick it over his head into Shawnee. Me personally, if you're talking like, look, it's a worthy candidate. As I said, I think it's an absolutely worthy candidate. But for me, if we're talking what goal is the best goal of the year, like what goal is the one where you watch and you thought that would be the most difficult one for any player to replicate in the country? For me, it's obvious. It's Shane Walsh's against Ballyboden St. Enda's. That's the best goal of the year for me. He literally got the ball nearly on the 45 for Kilmacud Crokes, ran the length of the half and stuck it in the top, like took on the Ballyboden defence and stuck it in the top corner with his left foot. Like, with his weaker left foot. Like, and we all know that Shane Walsh is a superstar, but let's be honest, if David Clifford picked up the ball and ran from the halfway line nearly and stuck it in the top corner with his weak right foot, GA social media would explode. Like, and that goal would have been goal of the year. I think that personally my one is the Shane Walsh against Bowden, because that put the nail in the coffin for Ballyboden. And once that goal went in, you knew it was game over already. And but I do think the Shawnee O'Shea goal is a worthy shout. But I think the Clifford pass was just as important to making that goal as the actual finish from Shawnee O'Shea to finish off that goal.
Yeah, definitely so. It was a brilliant goal, all right. And Shane Walsh was in the awards as well for that goal against Ballyboden. And his goal against Nace will live long in the memory as well. But Sean O'Shea wins the award. You think it's David Clifford's goal, but it was Sean O'Shea that won the award. Ironically enough, actually, David Clifford did take the ball from near the halfway line in a goal for Fossa against Castle Island Desmond. That was nominated for the award as well. And that was a brilliant goal in itself. We'll discuss now the hurling goal of the year, and it's a bit of a rogue one, really. It's Michael Mullins in the under-20 Munster final against Clare. Now, to describe this goal, because I'm not going to show the video because I don't want to get copyright straight, but he gathers the ball, I think, from the sideline. He does a 1-2 with a Cork player, and then he rams it home into the top of the net, past the despairing Clare goalkeeper. And Cork under-20s, they won the All-Ireland this year. It was a brilliant goal by Michael Mullins, who I'm sure Pat Ryan might have a look at in terms of the Cork senior team. But deserved goal of the year for you?
Yeah. And look, when a goal that is more kind of outlandish, like in a sense, like if a goal is a little bit more out there, you know, it must have been a pretty special goal. And it was a hell of a finish by Michael Mullins. My favourite as well, I think, just for the spectacle, Killian Buckley's to finish it off against Galway, like, was right up there in terms of clutch goal of the year. I really, really liked Cott Devan's goal against Antrim, just the skill that was required to pull that off. Shane O'Donnell's against Kilkenny as well was absolutely insane. The finish, like, that was an absolute rocket. There's some serious shouts. And like for Michael Mullins to get that nomination and to get that award, like, shows how much people rate the finish. And it was an absolutely incredible finish from him. My personal favorite for the drama of it all was probably Killian Buckley's. But again, worthy candidate for that award.
Definitely so. And well done to Michael Mullins for winning the goal of the year in hurling. And we'll go to the pint of the year in football. And we're going to discuss the club championship in a bit. And this pint was from the Ulster Club quarterfinal between Scotstoun and Kilcoo. You might think the one that was nominated actually was Rory Beggins free to win the game. The one I chose, though, was the one from play, where he hits it, I think, between the 45 and the 65, near the 65. He hits it at the outside of the boot and he gets it over the bar. And it probably just epitomises Rory Beggins' kicking ability. And he got selected for the NFL trials, I think, in America. And he might be missing from Monaghan this year, and probably deservedly so. Like, Rory Beggins' kick is absolutely incredible, to be fair to him. And this point was a worthy winner.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, and Beggin has just been rewriting the rules for goalkeepers pretty much ever since he came in 10 years ago. That free at the end as well. I know that's not the one that's up for nomination, but that one definitely was an incredible score as well. Like, the fella is just a sensational footballer. And, like, it's like he saw Ethan Rafferty, what he was doing with Armagh, and was like, okay, yeah, I see what you're doing. I'll do that too. And he's just kind of become just as good as any goalkeeper in the country now at doing that. There's some great shouts here as well. Like, a personal favourite of mine, like David Clifford against Austin Stacks, that equaliser was absolutely amazing. When you consider, like, the time that he scored it, was just unbelievable. Like, that is leadership. Give me the ball, I'll save us. Like, absolutely sensational score. Paddy McBrearty's is a great show, because, like, it seems like a lifetime ago that Paddy Carr was Donegal boss and everybody was happy enough up there. But that was a great score to win the game for Donegal. It was a clutch moment. Kate Kenny's one against UL was brilliant. If the Dara Canavan one against Armagh is the one that I'm thinking of, is that the one where he almost ducked under somebody?
That is, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was outrageous. I remember thinking, like, God, good luck getting a hold on that fella if he's able to just change size. He's like, as if he's Ant-Man from, like, the Marvel cinema. Like, you think you have him and he just changes size. And it comes back to life and sticks it over the bar. That was a cracking score. So, yeah, like, those three or four are, like, my favourite ones as well. Like, they're all brilliant points. And yeah, Beggins' one from Kilcoo. Against Kilcoo was brilliant. And yeah, Mark Collins against Dingle and Kieran Hughes against Trillick, like, I know they're recent ones. Kieran Hughes has 3 or 4 that you could probably include, like, that he kicked over the club championship. Like, fella was producing time and time again for Scotstoun. Mark Collins' point against Dingle was just pure leadership. Like, to kick it as high as he did into the wind. And the minute he kicked it, it looked like he had ballooned it, like, a million miles wide. But a curl back in, it was a hell of a score. And Castlehaven needed that. And that's one of the things that I'll always look at when I'm thinking about these scores is, when did they score them? When did they provide them? Because it's one thing to land a beauty when you're 10 points up. It's another thing to land a cracking score when you're 1 point behind in the last minute, or when you're level in the last minute, or going into the final few minutes and you come up with a clutch point. So that's why those ones are my favourites.
Definitely so. And Rory Beggins was towards the end of the game, and for that as well, and the point he scored in general, I think that was a deserving winner. We talk about timing of scores in the game. The hurling point of the year was actually at the start of an All-Ireland final in the under-20, and he's the star boy at under-20, let's be honest. Adam Sweeney from Offaly, this score against Cork, where he ducks in and out of the Cork players and hits it along the sideline over the bar in Simple Stadium. Turles Offaly end up losing the Cork in the final, with Adam Sweeney not having his best game. But overall, Adam Sweeney is just an incredible player, and probably a player we will talk about this year in more detail. But this point in particular is a worthy winner too.
Oh, without doubt. I mean, this guy is a superstar already, and it already feels like he's going to carry the hopes of Offaly Hurling on his shoulders now for the next few years if he's up to the task. Because, like, where I'm working, like in the GA Museum, like I'm meeting people from Offaly who will come in. I meet people from all over the country, and I meet people from Offaly coming who are proud hurling people, proud GA people, and they're already buzzing about Adam Screen. Like, they're already like, this guy is the next big thing. This guy is a big deal coming through, and they're all watching how he's getting on. So, yeah, like, for him to produce a score like that in the early stages of the game was absolutely crucial to Offaly. Obviously, it didn't go their way on the day, but he's an absolutely tremendously talented player. And I think Offaly do have to manage him a bit carefully because, like, look at the football, for example, on one side. Offaly have had Keane Johnson and they've had Jack Bryant and Cormac Egan over the last 5 years that have all looked like Keane Johnson's a few years back. Jack Bryant and Cormac Egan are, what, 1 year ago? And everybody said, these guys are the future. These guys are going to carry Offaly football for the next few years. And none of them have stamped down a place in the team because they all got rushed in very quickly and didn't go right. So they have to manage Adam Screeny as carefully as they can. And by the way, I hope that we see Keane Johnson. I hope we see Jack Bryant. I hope we see Cormac Egan. I'm not writing them off. They're all still very young lads. They can come back into it. Like, they're all in their 20s. They can all make a comeback into that Offaly team, no doubt about it. But yeah, I just feel like it will be interesting to see how they manage him. Don't put all the pressure on him immediately. Let him grow into the team. Let him mature into the team. And he will be an absolutely amazing hurler for Offaly, no doubt. And like, look, they're going to need him. They're in the Joe McDonagh next year. They failed to get over the line against Carlow in that final. Westmeath have been relegated. And this is a Westmeath side that beat Wexford and will feel quite irritated that they have been relegated from the Leinster Championship after beating Wexford. So they'll be determined as ever to get right back up to the John McDonagh. It will not be easy for Offaly to get out of the John McDonagh. And they will need Adam Screeny at his best. So be keeping an eye on him next year, without doubt.
Definitely will. He's only 19 years of age next year. I think he's still only 18, but he's going to be 19 in 2024. And he's only in first year of college. So it probably just epitomises how young he is. And speaking of the Offaly footballers, actually, I've seen the team for Offaly footballers or Bourne Cup game tonight. I think it's against Laois or some team. They have both Cormac Egan and Jack Bryan in the full forward line. So it'll be interesting to see how they, produce a performance tonight. Keane Johnson, hopefully he comes to the rank. Obviously, he was a guest on my podcast before. I think it was episode 5, if you haven't checked that out already. So, yeah, I hope Keane does fulfill his potential in the next few years. And we'll talk about the moment of the year now. And to be honest, Seamus, I don't think this was a competition, really. The Clifford brothers honouring their mother in the Munster Senior Football Championship final. Obviously, every GAA fan probably knows this stage. Their mother, Ellen Clifford, passed away on the Saturday before the Munster final against Clare in the Gaelic grounds. And the two lads, David and Paddy, played a game on the Sunday and they produced an incredible performance to get Kerry over the line on that day. And it just epitomises like how much they love their mother. David was absolutely emotional on the pitch afterwards. Paddy was as well. Like even accepting the cup afterwards, just an emotional moment, really, and one that will live long in the memory.
Yeah, like this one was a really, really emotional moment. Just seeing the two of them, you could tell they were just really sad, like rightfully so. I mean, like, I can't even imagine how much that would impact their headspace going into a Munster final. They line out, they put up an absolutely incredible display against Clare in that final. Like, they really, really turned on the burners and really put Clare away in that game. I think Kerry scored, what was it, 5 goals in that game, and Clare had no answer for them. They really were a tour de force that day. And to soldier on past that as well, because it doesn't just stop at the Clare game. It doesn't get any easier. In fact, it probably got a lot harder the more that the year went on. To soldier on into the quarterfinal against Tyrone, soldier on into the semi-final against Derry and the final against Dublin, knowing in every game that those two are going to be getting marked by the best defenders in the country, knowing that they're going to have the expectations and the hopes and the prayers of all the Kerry people on their backs. And the reality is they carried on, like, and some of the performances that they put in. David Clifford's performance against Derry in the semi-final was one of the best individual performances I've seen. Paddy Clifford was amazing in the final as well. David Clifford's pass for Paul Ganey's goal in the final was unbelievable. To do all that after going through something as unimaginably sad and life-changing as they did shows, number one, not just how good sportsmen they are, but how good men they are, how good people they are, that they carried on through unimaginable sadness and suffering. So, yeah, I tip my hat to both of them. Nothing but respect for the two of them, and absolutely the moment of the year for me as well.
Yeah, well said. I'd echo those points. Definitely, there are some men, some footballers, and they definitely are a credit to the organisation, as Marty Morrissey said last week on RT News. We'll go on to the controversy of the year, and a few surprise votes in this one, but ultimately, I don't think it was much of a shock. It was the Dylan Quirk Foundation, another obviously tragic incident that happened in the last 2 years in GAA, Dylan Quirk passing away on the Semple Stadium pitch. And the controversy of the year involves the foundation on his name. The jersey that was there to sponsor him, it was worn by the Limerick and Tipperary players at the start of their Munster Championship warm-up. But the GAA had a rule where they didn't allow the Dylan Quirk Foundation sponsor to be on the Limerick jerseys or the Tipperary jerseys that day. And Joe Canning talked about this in depth on the Sunday game, I think last July as well. And it was definitely a controversial moment. It probably epitomises... This was an awful decision, really, by the GAA, and I don't know why they did it, but yeah, it's done. They did it last June, this was, I think, at this stage, and yeah, it was just a controversial moment.
Yeah, this was disgusting, to be honest. Like, it's just outright truth. It was disgusting. It was to not allow the foundation of a guy who'd given his life to Gaelic Games and had passed away on a Gaelic Games pitch, and they're setting up the foundation in his name. That foundation, especially when it's his county involved, that foundation deserves to have, at the very least, a place on the jerseys. Like, why not do what other, you know, sports promotions do, what other sports do, and have, like, a slot on the jersey even? Even if you don't want it to be right in the middle of the chest, why not have it on the sleeve, on the back, on the everything like that? And this is what annoyed me so much about it, was either allow charities to be on the jerseys or don't. But and by the way, I think they absolutely should allow charities on the jerseys. GAA is an amateur sporting organization after all, right? So we should help out people. And the reality is Dublin, for example, like, as a dub, I've seen Dublin wear countless jerseys with charities on it. Like, I remember we were talking about this on Aaron's podcast. I was saying, obviously, the support for Drummo jersey was a very memorable one that I can remember off the top of my head. I remember that jersey. They wore that for, I think it was a Super 8s game. I think they wore one against Cork as well. In that mad game, they wore a different charity sponsor. And so when we see stuff like that, and then we see that Dylan Quirk's foundation is allowed on the Tipperary jersey, when both teams would have wore it, like, make no mistake about it, both teams would have wore it. And Limerick don't even have a sponsor. It just made absolutely no sense. And it really left a bad taste in the mouth, to be honest. Haven't seen them do that. So, yeah, and fair play to Joe Canning for on the biggest stage of all that he could have possibly had to call it out. And hopefully now, in future, the GAA will be more empathetic and have more empathy to the family and friends of these people that are trying to build something good out of something absolutely tragic. And yeah, so that really annoyed me when I seen that, and annoyed you and annoyed everybody that was a GAA fan.
Absolutely, and I think the support for Drummo jerseys or the hospital jerseys in the Super 8s, I think they were 2019, and they actually brought in the rule at the start of 2023, and we were like, why? Seriously, you know, there's no reason for us, and hopefully the GAA come to their senses this year or the next year and allow these sponsors on the jerseys. Yeah, we're nearly half an hour in, so we'll just rush through the other awards given out. And the quote of the year was Canis Mulligan, the Sligo captain. And he said after the under-20 Connacht final, three-way games, all the big dogs, but Sligo are now effing big dog. And they won the Connacht Championship, a brilliant achievement for Sligo, definitely. And Canis Mulligan was a legend in his hometown pub, I'd imagine, for that. There's, I think there's five more awards here. We'll rush through them. Performance of the year was David Clifford against Derry. Says it all, really. Is just an incredible athlete. The shock of the year. I thought this would be Cluxton coming back, but he got to the final. But no, it was Glen Rovers getting relegated out of the Cork Premier Senior Hurling Championship for the first time in 93 years, which was around that, which was absolute, or 97, I think it was. It was just an incredible relegation in many ways. And the club of Patrick Corgan, the club of Christy Ring, club of Rob Downey went down to the second grade of Cork Hurling, which was absolutely incredible in its own right. The game of the year, and it was recent in December, it was St. Thomas's 123, Ballygunner 220, St. Thomas's winning on penalties. Probably one of the shocks of the year in terms of results. It was just an incredible game in general. The last two awards here, the funniest moment of the year, Damien Cahalan doing the Emmy Martinez impression in goal in the game in the Munster final against Dingle, and then he pulls up the celebration afterwards, and we'll talk about Castlehaven, I'm sure, later on. And finally, the shock team of the year, surprise package of the year, was Kilnamatra in County Cork. They beat Milltown Castlemaine, who are the 9th best team in Kerry. And for context, Kilnamatra are the 25th best team in Cork. So well done to Kilnamatra for winning that award. So out of them awards, happy with those winners?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't really have any arguments with any. Clifford's performance against Derry was absolutely worthy. And that was, I loved the kind of mulligan moment. I absolutely loved it. Because I was like, yes, we need that cockiness. We need that arrogance a little bit to be like, yeah, we're the big dog now. That might shake up the Connacht Championship. Like, if Sligo carry in those lads who really back themselves like that, they could really, you know, put it up to Galway and Mayo and Roscommon and everything like that. They could really put it up to them. And it's only a good thing. The more and more teams that come in with confidence like that, the better the competition will get and the better the product of the GAA will get. So I absolutely loved it. And it really made me like root for them as the championship went on. I wanted to see them go and do it. Obviously, Kildare caught them in the final, but it was an amazing year for Sligo. And yeah, I loved that quote. And all of the awards, to be honest, couldn't really argue with any of them.
Exactly so, and brilliant. Thanks to everyone that voted on the Instagram stories, and hopefully there'll be another version in 2024 by the end of next year, but that's a long way away, of course. But as they say, time moves fast, so we might be here as quickly as we think, really. But before we get into the All-Ireland semi-finals, we're just after eating Christmas dinner and doing Christmas presents and things like that, celebrating New Year's, and already we have our first controversy of the year, and it's the pre-season competitions. They strike again. And I'm going to show you this tweet now. It's from Wexford GAA about last night. It's a tweet with Wexford Park there. Technical problems with the generator here can't be solved. Matches being moved to the Centre of Excellence in Ferns, which is the throwing time of 8:30. So for context of this, Wexford were playing Wicklow in the O'Byrne Cup. The initial throwing time was 7:30 in the night. And the game was moved to 8:30 in the Centre of Excellence in Ferns. And for context there, I looked on Google Maps. It's a 29-minute drive from Ferns to the Wexford Park ground, which is absolutely comical in its own right. Wexford won the game last night, so I don't think the result has any resemblance in this controversy whatsoever, to be honest with you. But, like, this probably brings up the arguments with pre-season competitions. I think Mark Foley, the former Cork hurler, brought up this comment on this. What are the GAA at in this? And what are Leinster Council at in this? What should be focused on is the league later on in the month, the Sigurdsson Cup and the Fitzgibbon Cup. But instead, pre-season competitions, again, waste of time. Like, I question Seamus. Why couldn't they postpone the game? Why couldn't they cancel the game? Like, it clearly has no significance at all in the Leinster Championship or the league or whatever for Wicklow or Wexford. So why couldn't they put off this game 8:30? Imagine the Wicklow players going up. They'll get over about, if they're lucky now, I'd say 11 o'clock or 11:30, mm-hmm. and they have to work the next morning.
What's the point of the O'Byrne Cup?
It's ridiculous, really. Isn't it?
Do you remember my video last year?
Yeah.
I think the one where I was saying, what's going on? Why are all these teams pulling out of the O'Byrne Cup? I remember, I think, was it Offaly beat Dublin? And then somebody beat Dublin and then pulled out immediately after.
Yeah, it was Offaly, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, they just pulled out straight after. And then I think Loud offered someone a walkover.
And then Loud actually pulled out of a game and they got to the final.
Loud pulled out. They offered someone a walkover, and then they got put straight into the final against Longford, and Longford won the final. Loud were probably playing the bin men. Like, Loud were probably playing the fellas that served them the pints at the game. Like, they were like, go on, throw on a jersey there, will you? They couldn't have cared less about that O'Brien Cup. Nobody really did. And look, there's other competitions that are taken way more serious. Everyone knows really that, like, it means nothing when you get into the league. Like, Longford had a smidge of goodwill after winning the O'Brien Cup last year, very quickly gone by relegation to Division 4. So, like, that showed absolutely nothing. And Loud, that they beat in the final, should they push for promotion from Division 2 into Division 1? So, like, it doesn't show anything about the year that's coming. Dublin got knocked out in the quarterfinal, went on to win the All-Ireland. Like, it doesn't show anything that is coming for the year ahead. And that's why I'm like, look, other competitions are taken dead serious. Other competitions like the McKenna Cup up in Ulster, that's taken super seriously. Like, FBD League is taken pretty seriously. I'm like, okay, but what's the point of ones that aren't taken seriously? And when we already have such a packed schedule, what is their purpose? What is the point? Like, it really doesn't make sense. Because then what you have is you have a situation where players are playing for their college, their club, and their county at the same time. And this brings us back again to the player welfare issue that we talked about at the start of last year, where then the GA will introduce a sweeping rule because you have three competitions on at the same time. And then later on in the year, when there's just two competitions, they'll block a player like an Auron Murdoch or an Owen McAvoy playing for both the under-20s and the seniors. And then it will get a lot of controversy then, but then it will whip back around to January and someone like a Tommy Conroy will get injured again and it will be, oh, he's playing two games in one day or three games in 5 days and all this stuff. If the competition isn't really serving a purpose, and it hasn't really been for a long time now, what is the point? Is it just for history that we're keeping it around? Is it just because this is the way it's always been? Well, if we're operating on that logic of this is the way that it's always been, well, then the finals would still be in September. The club championships would still be finishing around St. Patrick's Day. But we binned all that off. So why are you persisting with a competition where half the teams don't care and will probably pull out anyway?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And actually, out of the preseason competitions last year, I think the only team to benefit from it was Cork, who handsomely beat Kerry and got a new players in for the league and then reached the All Ireland quarterfinal. But other than that, I'm struggling to think of teams that actually benefited from it. Like, Derry won the McKenna Cup, fair enough, but they would have won. They would have got promoted anyway because they're a big team like Dublin in Division 2 were that season. And Derry were still a very good team and going for their second Ulster title in a row, so it wouldn't have done them any favours either. And it goes back to player welfare. Like, even looking at the Sigurdsson Cup starting next week. The Fitzgibbon Cup is starting the week after that. The league is starting in January. Then you have the club, which we're going to talk about with the Castlehaven, Bridgets and Kilmacud and Glen as well. We have that in as well. Then you have the championship. And what is even more ridiculous, I looked at even the league finals last year. Mayo and Galway were playing. Mayo won the league title. Then a week later, they have to play Roscommon in the college championship and lose. So why are we cramming these sorts of games, these meaningless games, into a tight schedule? And what could be done if the preseason competitions are bent? You could have the league a week earlier, and then you'd have a week off before the championship starts up. And you'd avoid a situation like Mayo last year. So the GAA could do a lot with this, and they just don't seem to be doing it. When Mayo announced
that's perfect. You could start the league in the first weekend of January.
Yeah.
Why not?
It would just avoid problems like the Tommy Conroy incident, and avoid. Yeah. And you mentioned the problem there of players playing on the same day. I remember 2 years ago, Tony Brosnan, and I think it was Jack Savage from Kerry, played with MTU Kerry, and then they played with Kerry in the McGrath Cup about 6 hours later.
Yeah.
We've got the same incidents like this.
Yeah. I remember there was one a few years ago where Kieran Malloy played for Currafin and NUIG in the same day.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, And I don't even get me started on Hannah Looney and Orla Cahalan and Libby Coppinger and the stuff that they had to go through last year with the fixture. So, look, it would make a hell of a lot more sense if you just put the... You don't even have to even do the first week of January, but, like, why not the second weekend? Or something like that where you just don't have the same crossover anymore that you had before. And the league would be wrapped up by the end of March and you could give the players a month off. Just let them live their lives a little bit. But I do think at one stage, Matthew, we need to design up our GAA calendar and release it, see what we come out with.
Yeah, exactly. Just before we get into the semi-finals, any word on the empathy for the Wexford and Wicklow? Well, Wexford would have been in their home, to be fair, but that's a stretch. They still have to get up in the morning for work after playing a game at 8:30 at night. But for Wicklow and the supporters as well, to travel from Wexford Park to Ferns, I'd imagine a rainy, cold night as well. It's just ridiculous. And Wicklow players working in the morning as well, they're going to be exhausted.
It's just, look, I don't know enough about the situation to say was it an honest mistake, was it a lack of professionalism, what sort of situation happened here, but it's not a great feeling anyway. And then even worse for Wicklow, they did get stuffed when the game actually did kick off, so like they're going home in a game that they were made to wait an hour for and they lost, and like all this. Wouldn't be good vibes in the cars on the way home there.
Wouldn't be good vibes in the office in the morning either. Definitely wouldn't. We're going to the All-Ireland semi-finals now. And some interesting games, obviously Castlehaven and Bridget's. And we'll get on to Wattygrams Glen and Kilbacolt later on. But we'll start off with chronologically on Sunday at 1:45. It is Castlehaven against St. Bridget's in Semple Stadium in Turles. I was listening briefly to your podcast with Jason Keeler for the Loaf of Bread podcast. Check that out if you haven't already before this podcast began. And I'd echo your points definitely in this game, because two of these sides, they wouldn't have expected mainly to get here in the All-Ireland semi-finals, and it's a huge opportunity for both. The Kilmacud and Wattygrams Glen is obviously the big tie, but this is a big tie in its own right too, because it's a big opportunity for one of these two sides.
Oh, it is. It's the golden ticket. You won't get as good an opportunity to get here again. And look, when you're talking about St. Bridget's, you could maybe argue of slightly a better age profile than Castlehaven's key players. Brian Hurley, Michael Hurley, Mark Collins, they're probably at the peak of their powers. And like you could argue if they don't break the glass ceiling now, they might never. Bridget's, you know, Ben O'Carroll is still not at his peak yet, which is kind of frightening when you see that he's already scored 729. Brian Stack still has a lot left in the tank. Like they'll be back for the Roscommon Championship next year. But it's one of those things where when are you going to get to avoid a Kilmacud Crokes, a Wattygrams Glen, a Scotstown? Like when's the next time you're going to get to avoid them and get to a final again? So it's a massive opportunity for both of these teams. When I said about the not expected to reach this far, I more so meant people from outside wouldn't have expected them to reach this point. I wouldn't have expected either of them to reach this point. I thought Boyle would win Roscommon, because I really liked the look with the Smiths and with Keane McKeown and other really talented players in there. And then Moy Cullen and Cura Finn were backed by pretty much everybody to win Connacht, whoever came out of Galway. And when Cura Finn beat Moy Cullen, everyone kind of assumed, oh, well, Cura Finn are going to go win Connacht now. Bridget's had other ideas. Castlehaven, I mean, at the start of the Cork Championship, I would have probably backed St. Finbarr's. And then when they got to the final, after beating Finbarr's, they were up against Nemo Rangers. A lot of people thought Nemo would win. And then even when they got out of that, a lot of people still would have backed Dingle or Clonmel Commercials to take Munster. So Castlehaven have surprised people a lot this year. So have St. Bridget's. They're here now. And the truth is, if they were asked, you know, who do you want to play out of the other three semi-finalists, they probably would have picked each other. It's the perfect opportunity for them, but it's a very difficult task. They're going up against in each other
two very similar sides in the sense of two sides that can battle, but they can also play you off the park. Like, both of them have incredible forwards. Brian Hurley is as good as you're going to get pound for pound in the club championship. He's brilliant. Ben O'Carroll has been amazing for Bridgets. And there's going to be some amazing duels. Like, Brian Stack is going to take up Brian Hurley. I think we all know that. And Eddie Nolan in midfield, is going to be massive for Bridgets. Damien Cahalan, Mark Collins, what role they play for Castlehaven is going to be huge. It is just going to be really, really interesting to see how they match up with each other. If you look at it, like, obviously massive thanks to your stats that were very helpful during our episode as well. Bridgets, you could say, have probably got here a little bit easier than Castlehaven have. They haven't scrapped and battled as much as Castlehaven have. Castlehaven had extra time against Cratlow. They had penalties against Dingle. And they're here now in the semi-final, whereas Bridgets have blasted through other teams in Roscommon, apart from Boyle and Pádraig Pearce's, maybe you could say. And then they actually didn't struggle too much to beat Curriffin in that final.
Yeah, maybe not. We'll focus on Bridgets in a bit, but we'll focus on Castlehaven first. And obviously, you mentioned the stats there, and I photos of them to bring up here. So Castlehaven's run to the final, starting off at the Cork Premier Senior Football Championship. They were in a West Cork group of death with Carbery Rangers, Valley Rovers and Clonakilty. They drew against Carbery Rangers on the first day out, and that was actually 2 days before the All-Ireland Football Final being Kerry in Dublin. Long way back, lads, isn't it?
Yeah.
they drew that.
Crazy to think it was already underway back then.
Yeah, amazing. Like, I think Kevin O'Donovan, the Cork CEO, was talking about the Kerry Dublin game, and then they were switching attention to this game, and it was live on Rebels Online. And yeah, it was a long time ago, this one. But they drew against Carbery Rangers that night at 11 points apiece. They beat Valley Rovers 112 to 9 points, and Brian Hurley came on at half time in that game and changed us completely in that particular time. Clonakilty was a game they could have gone out of it. And I said this on the game, Fat TV as well. If Clonakilty beat or drew against Castlehaven and Carbery Rangers beat Valley Rovers in the other game, Castlehaven would have been out of the whole championship. Cork, Munster, you could forget about it. They would have been out. But they beat Clonakilty by 2 points that day. Brian Hurley was absolutely exceptional, scoring a goal in that game as well. Ballincollig, they beat them by 3 points, 14 points to 1-8. Brilliant display in the first half. Ballincollig came back into it in the second half, to be fair to them, but Castlehaven held on. This is the game, the next game, which I think defined their season, the Bars. And they have had their ding-dong battles over the years, Castlehaven and the Bars, but this year it was Castlehaven's time. They beat St. Finn Bars 116 to 211, despite the Bars making a comeback late on. And then in a nip and tuck battle, really, against Nemo Rangers in a defensive game of football, they beat them 11 points to 9. Then in Munster, they beat Cratlow, obviously, after extra time. Through that Robbie Minahan goal in extra time was a key score in that one. They beat Rathgormack in the Munster semi-final after a pretty slow start in that game. And then, obviously, beating Dingle on penalties to win their first Munster title, I think, since the 1990s. It was an incredible win for Castlehaven. Look at their scores as well. Brian Hurley, obviously, with 2 goals, 39 points, as you mentioned there, Seamus. Michael Hurley, 23 points. Jack Hallan, 214. Mark Collins there as well. And you have the young guns in and around scoring as well. Jack O'Neill and Jamie O'Driscoll, for example, are only 19 years of age, both of them. So this is a huge game, I'd imagine, for both them players. Damien Callahan's even chipped in with a few scores. Conor Callahan's been exceptional. Sean Brown is an under-21 still. Jack Hallan, you might not realise it, but he's 21 still. So, like, I know you might see it as a big opportunity for Castlehaven, and they've had to come through thick and thin, and they've had to go through battle after battle to get here in the All-Ireland semi-final. But when you look at, I know Brian Hurley, Michael Hurley, Jack, Mark Collins, Conor Callahan, Damien Callahan, they're old enough players and they're experienced at this stage. But when you look at Sean Brown, Jack Callahan, Jamie O'Driscoll, Jack O'Neill, Tomás O'Mahony, Rory Maguire even, they're all very young players. And you'd have to imagine Castlehaven will get back here at some stage. But for the likes of Brian Hurley, for Michael Hurley, it's a huge opportunity for those lads.
Yeah, no, it is. It's as good a team as Brian Hurley and Michael Hurley will be involved in, maybe you could say. That, like, when the mantle passes from them lads down to the under-20 lads to the Jack Callahans and everything coming through, and they say, OK, you're taking over now as scoring chief for the team. It's just difficult to know, will they get a chance like this? Because Finbars will get better. Like, Finbars will go back to the drawing board now. Other teams will come through, like Nemo Rangers will refresh. Other teams will bring through, you know, quality players. there's a lot of quality players coming through in Cork, and that will form in difficult ways for Castlehaven to maintain a dominance over the Cork Championship. It just will. The Cork Championship has been bouncing around like a bit of a hot potato over the last 2 years. And I don't see it being like a Kilmacud Croke style situation where they'll have it on lockdown. Like, Kilmacud have had Dublin on lockdown now for the last 3 years. I don't see it being like that. I see Cork being an absolute, you know, dangerous championship for them to get out of next season, because Finbarrs and Nemo will both have revenge on their minds, and it was extremely close games that got them there. Look, I do think that they're a proud club with immense tradition, and look, they will be back here, you know, over the next 10 years. Like, there's no question about it. But for, like, the one thing in sport is that you can never, ever, ever predict when you're going to be back here again. So they have to seize this opportunity with both hands. And Brian Hurley, Michael Hurley will be fully aware of that. And they'll go into this game knowing how important it is. They probably do have a little bit more experience in terms of time playing than the Bridget's dads do. But again, what we were talking about when we were talking about Bridget's is, how important is it that Bridget's as a club has won an All-Ireland Club Championship in the last 10 years? How important is that? Is it something that will make the difference? Because if you have people on the line that have been there and done that, I can put their arm around your shoulder and say, look, this is what you need to do, and you listen to them. Or would you rather be the team that is trying to make history?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big game in general. And we look at Bridget's run to the final here. You mentioned that they steamrolled Roscommon, really, other than Padraig Pearce's, which they beat by 2 points in the first day out, 11 points to 9. They hammered St. Dominic's, Michael Cavies. Not Roscommon, this scoreline was absolutely incredible, 15 to 7 points. And they beat Roscommon Gaels. That was the semi-final in Roscommon. They beat them 4-15 to 12 points. And then Boyle, obviously, in the final. But I think the stat that jumps off the page in this one, they've averaged a concession rate of 8 points a game. They've only conceded 3 goals. The only goals they've conceded were to Clare Strandhill in the last few moments of the game, when the goal didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. They had the job wrapped up early on in the game. And Cork Finlay conceded 2 goals. That's it. They have not conceded a goal in any other championship game, which is absolutely incredible. And it definitely stands to the likes of Brian Sack at the centre-back and his centre-back role. And he's done absolutely outstanding. And Castlehaven will have it really, really hard and challenging this St. Bridget's defence. But for defence to attack, look at their scores here. And Ben O'Carroll, as you mentioned there, Seamus, 7 goals, 29 points, which is absolutely outstanding. Bobby Nugent with 1 goal and 22. Kieran Sugru there with 3-10 as well. Brian Derwin in the full forward line with 1-6. Shane Conan's been chipping in from midfield with 7 points as well. Even Brian Stack himself from centre-back, 5 points, which is no mean feat. So they have a lot of scorers. Their defence is very, very good. We even look at stats. So only 3 goals conceded. And 2 of those goals were to Cork Finn, which is absolutely incredible in its own right.
Yeah, no, they've been fantastic. And they're just free flowing. Ben O'Carroll is such a lovely footballer to watch. Like, I mean, he burst onto the scene with that goal for Roscommon against Tyrone at the start of the league last year. That was the first time that I really was like, wow, who's this guy? Ben O'Carroll was absolutely electric that day. As you said, they've a wealth of talent spread throughout the team. Like, the other lads there that have Roscommon experience, like Robbie Dolan, like Eddie Nolan, like Connor Hand, like, they just do have a wealth of talent throughout the team. And in Ben O'Carroll up front, they have one of the best forwards left in the club championship. And in Brian Stack, they have arguably the best defender left in the club championship. Like, Brian Stack, man to man, mark, like, as a man marker, is one of the best around. And like, his job on Brian Hurley, I think you could potentially say will decide the game. Because if Brian Hurley gets a run on him and scores 1-5 or something, you would lean towards Castlehaven. But if Brian Stack can hold Hurley to 3 points, 4 points, like, it massively tips it in the favour of Bridget's. But then on the other side, Castlehaven have, you know, a very underrated defence. When you look at their games, Castlehaven have barely conceded anything in a lot of games. And like, they held Nemo Rangers to something ridiculous. Like Jason was saying on my pod earlier, that they've held, yeah, just that they held Nemo Rangers to something really small from play. What exactly was it? It was like 4 points or 3 points from play.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a look at it now. I'll just have a look. But even look at their score lines there, they conceded like over 10 points in nearly every game, though, other than Nemo Rangers and Valley Rovers. They conceded over 10 points in every game at the Car Championship. And they conceded over 10 points or over in every game in Munster. So I don't know about that argument. I know I like to vouch for Castlehaven, but I don't know about that argument, James. Like, I think Bridget's defence might be slightly better.
But at the same time, like, if we're talking like a once-off man mark, Cork, like, Castlehaven do have fantastic defenders, individual defenders. Like a Rory Maguire or something could go on Ben O'Carroll and do a really good job on him.
Yeah, I'm looking at there. This conceded 5 points from play against Nemo Rangers.
Like, so, but like, the reality is that I do think it, key thing as well to look at there is Cratlow and Dingle. Both those games are after extra time. So before extra time, they didn't score over 10 points before extra time. Like, Cratlow was below, Dingle I think was 10 points each at full time,
yeah,
if memory serves. Yeah. But so like, Castlehaven's games have been low scoring in terms of the Munster Football Championship anyway. Like, the score that they have, the scores that they have conceded have gone slightly down. Like, the Dingle conditions were absolutely appalling. So I think you write that game off as just being a battle. But the reality is, I think Rory Maguire could be a good matchup for Ben O'Carroll. And similarly with the Brian Stack, Brian Hurley matchup, that could be potentially match deciding as well, because if you can take out Ben O'Carroll, like, Bridget's do have to turn somewhere else, and Ben O'Carroll has been their go-to throughout the entire championship, rightfully so, for the scores that he's produced. I think it's a game where matchups are absolutely vital.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just looking at the top, the games where each side has conceded the most. Even looking at Castlehaven, they conceded the most against Clonakilty, 114, and St. Finbar's, 211. I'm looking at St. Bridget's there. Their highest concession rate was 12 points against Roscommon Gaels, but then again, they scored 415 themselves. So, like, all the stats actually point towards a Bridget's win in this one, which is interesting in its own right. And I'm sure you're going for Bridget in this game. But is it because of the stats, or is it just because of the influence of Brian Stack and Ben O'Carroll and the team?
I am going for Bridget. I narrowly went for Bridget to take it by 2 points. I said I don't think the conditions would be pretty, but I think Bridget's have shown slightly more flair in getting here. And they haven't really looked in trouble that much throughout their run. Mohill definitely were pushing them a bit late there at the end, like Keith Byrne very much leading the charge there in that game. Currafin, they dealt with them really, really well. Castlehaven, you could argue, should have been beaten by Dingle, not just in full time, but in extra time and on penalties. Tom O'Sullivan had the penalty to win it, which Cahalan pushed away. So, like, Castlehaven have been living like a cat with nine lives. But the reality is they're still here. And in a once-off game against Bridges, they will absolutely fancy their chances. But if I had to be pushed, pick one, narrowly go for Bridges.
Thing is, I've been against predicting Castlehaven all the championship, really. Well, I did predict them on Gaelic Games Fan TV. I did predict they'd win Munster. If Mark O'Connor wasn't there for Dingle, which they did in the end. But in the Nemo Rangers game in particular, I backed Nemo Rangers not because of the players. I thought Castlehaven had a better team, but I thought Nemo Rangers had more of a vital mentality. And for Haven to go on and win that game, I think showed a lot of bottle. And the fact they went on to win against Clonakilty in Bandon, I thought showed a lot of resolve in that game as well. And against the Bars, despite the Bars pulling them back. And I don't think, this might be clutching at straws now, but I don't think Bridget's have been in a perilous situation in this championship, whereas Castlehaven have been in perilous situations so many times in this championship. They've been on the edge, they've got themselves off it. And I just feel it's like a situation of Ireland's Fittest Family, isn't it? Have you ever watched that show on RT where a family in the eliminator nearly every round, they eventually go through in the next round, or they eventually go on and win the thing because they've been to the well and back so many times. And the other crowd, the other family, haven't. And I just feel there could be a situation like that in this game. I'm going to go to Haven slightly.
I don't blame you at all, because the one thing is that they've shown is never ever write them off. Now, I predicted them to beat Nemo, but I wouldn't have predicted them to get this far. I predicted Dingle to win Munster. It's one of those things where I wouldn't be surprised if we get any mix and match of a club final this weekend. If you get Kilmacud versus Castlehaven, Kilmacud versus Bridgets, Glen versus Bridgets, or Glen versus Castlehaven, it wouldn't surprise me. I think genuinely both games are very tight to call. I'd narrowly go with Bridgets, but I completely understand going for Castlehaven as well, because that is the truth. If it turns out to be the last 5 minutes and they're neck and neck, Castlehaven have shown over the championship more grit to get over the line in those games. It'd be very interesting to see.
Definitely will. Yeah, we're going for a different prediction. So I'm going for Castlehaven, Seamus going for Bridgets, and we will see what happens this Sunday. I might be actually going to the game as well, so we'll see how it transpires. It should be an absolute cracker of a game. Speaking of crackers of game, and this is the sequel, as you mentioned earlier on in the chat, and probably it's just an incredible matchup in its own right. Kilmacud and Watty Grahams Glen live at TG Carr 3:45, and Park Essendon and Newry. So many storylines in this game. You look at the 17 players, which was one of the controversy of the year nominees. They come up against each other again. Watty Grahams Glen might be thinking, we need to show Kilmacud who's boss in this game. Kilmacud might be thinking in the back of their minds, we need to win this game fairly. Even though I thought, and I think you think the same, Seamus, Kilmacud were the better team last year in the All-Ireland final. Watty Grahams Glen have a lot to prove in this game, but it's going to be an absolute cracker.
Oh, this is perfect. This has all the ingredients to be an amazing clash. It has the anticipation, it has the rivalry, and it has the storyline. When you listen to Chael Sonnen, like, who I think personally is one of the best promoters that any sport has ever had, Chael Sonnen, like, do you ever listen to him talking about it? And he always says, who, what, why, when, where. Those are the five key things when you're trying to sell a storyline. And he always says the why is by far the most important. Why? Why is this such an important game for Kilmacud Crokes? Because Kilmacud Crokes get the chance to shut them up. They get the chance to shut everyone up who says that they only won last year because of the 17 players, when they were the better team. I believe it. You believe it. Malachy O'Rourke believes it. He said it on the post-match interview after the Scotstown victory. That gives them the opportunity to shut everyone up. And they did deserve a rematch. Like, you can't allow teams to break the rules like that. But I think we all deep down knew that if Louth didn't get a rematch against Meath in 2010, it was unlikely that this one was going to warrant a rematch as well, even though it looked for a little while like maybe, just maybe, there might be. Why for Glenn? The why for Glenn is they get the chance to avenge that loss. They get the chance to beat the team, the only team that has beaten them in the last 2 years. You know, they buried the hatchet with Slochneil. They buried the hatchet with Kilcoo. They are yet to do it with Kilmacud Crokes. And they have one hell of an opportunity to do it this weekend, because they have Kilmacud Crokes in Newry. That is a far stretch from Croke Park. That's not the wide open surfaces and lovely wide room and fields of grass for Shane Walsh and Paul Mannion to run around in. That is a tight, narrow, potentially mucky pitch with pouring rain and Cathal Mulholland or Michael Warnock hanging out with both of them. It's going to be a very different contest. It's going to test the grit of Kilmacud Crokes like it has never been tested before. And Watty Grahams Glen, their grit is unquestionable. Even this year, they battle past everyone.
And I said this to Aaron as well about this encounter. if this was on Croke Park, I'd fancy Kilmacud to win the game, but it definitely puts it a lot in the balance now that it's on a Newry. If it was on a Partalton in Navan, I would have thought, okay, Glenn have a chance here. So
big time. This is it. You took the words out of my mouth. The minute I seen it was in Newry, I was like, oh. That's a cat amongst the pigeons.
It's almost like a leveler, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. But then on top of that as well, when you're talking about why, there's a big why here as well for Glenn, because a lot of people, I remember a lot of people were saying in comments on videos that we were putting up about it at the time, a lot of people were saying if Kieran McFall was there, Glenn would have smoked Kilmacud Croke, so they would have beaten them hands down if Kieran McFall was playing. Oh, Kilmacud are lucky Kieran McFall wasn't playing. Well, he's here now. Let's see him. And he has been really good throughout the championship. He's been damn good throughout the championship so far. And on top of that, Kilmacud Croke are missing a few lads that they had this time last year. They don't have Killian O'Shea, who was one of the best defenders last year in the championship. They don't have Ben Shovlin. And they don't have, they don't have Craig Diaz at full fitness.
Connor Ferris, what do you have him?
Connor Ferris has been in and out. He's been in and then he's been injured and they've gone with David Higgins. So it's difficult. Like, who are they going to go with in this game? Because Connor Ferris sometimes can pull off unbelievable saves and unbelievable moments, and sometimes he has mistakes in him. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how Glenn approached that. What Glenn need to be doing is Glenn need to absolutely, the first thing that Glenn need to do is eliminate that short kick out. I swear to God, my mind will absolutely melt if Glenn allow Kilmacud Croke a short kick out. Glenn have the strongest, what?
I was just going to say they did that last year and they paid.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Like, my mind will absolutely melt if they do that, because it didn't work for them last year. They have the best midfield of any team left in the club championship. McFall, Glass and Bradley around the middle is an insane trio to have. And they should be making Kilmacud Croke kick that ball long into them as much as possible, because not only do they have McFall back, but as I said, Croke don't have Ben Shovlin, who they had last year, and they don't have a fully fit Craig Diaz, in my opinion. Craig Diaz was missing for key games in the Dublin Championship. He was missing for the Leinster Championship. I don't think he's fully fit. I think they might throw him in there because they need him. But like, they've got Brian Sheehy, who's been doing great, but he is, you know, new to the scene. Mark O'Leary as well. These are like, this is more or less their first real serious crack at being put in the Kilmacud Croke starting team. And they've done great so far. They've been absolutely brilliant so far. Credit to themselves and their club. But this is a whole other ball game going up against Glass, Bradley and McFall in a rainy Newry. Like, this is going to test everything that they're made of. And I think Glenn should be pushing right up on Connor Ferris or David Higgins and making him kick that ball long, straight into the cauldron waiting for them in the middle of the pitch.
Definitely so, yeah. And we'll have a look at Kilmacud first, their scores and their run to the final. We'll start off with the run to the final. And I'm sure you know this run more than anyone, Seamus, because you'll be covering a bit of Dublin GAA action in the club championship. They beat St. Sylvester's on the first day, 14-5, which was a close game, 3 points that game. Mm-hmm. They pretty handedly beat Castleknock in the next game after that, and Skerry's Heart. They beat Skerry's Heart by 3 points. Ballymun Kickhams, they beat them by 4 points, which could have been a banana skin with the likes of James McCarthy, Dean Rock, all them, John Small, Paddy Small, and that around them, that Ballymun panel. Raheny was the main one, I thought, when you look at the run to the final in the Dublin semi final. They needed a Luke Ward last minute goal to get out of jail in that one. 2:15 to 2:15. They beat them on penalties 5-4. They hammered Ballyboden in the final. They then beat Errol from Carlow, RD St. Mary's from Loud, and then Nace from Kildare en route to the Leinster Championship. They've averaged a score rate of 1:15 per game, an average a concession rate of 1:10. when you look at their scores here, Shane Walsh is obviously top with 4 goals and 33 points. You have Paul Manning with 26. Darren Mullins there as well at 14. Probably not as much as last year, but still chipping in fairness to him. Keane O'Connor's there as well. Shane Cunningham, Hugh Kenny scored more goals than he has points, which probably epitomises he's a goal-getter, really, rather than a point-getter. Shane Horne is another player that needs to be kept an eye on. Dan O'Brien is a very good player for defence. Obviously, Luke Ward scoring that goal against Raheny, which was absolutely massive in this run. Craig Diaz, who you mentioned before, has got 2 points in this campaign. Brian Sheehy with 1 point there. So they do still have the players capable of but not as strong, arguably, as last season. But the run to the final, I thought, look at the run anyway, the stats there. The Raheny game was massive.
Yeah, the Raheny game was... Like, the Raheny game tested everything that they could have been tested with. Like, all right, that makes absolutely no sense. But the Raheny game tested everything that they're made of. Because... I'm just going to set the scene for you and for anybody watching. It's Parnell Park. It's pretty packed, to be honest. It's a game that nobody expects Raheny to have any hope in, but Raheny have travelled well and they're well supported. Kilmacud Crokes get into coast mode, which they've done now for a while, which is where they smash you early, they get comfortably ahead and they pretty much cruise for the rest of the game. And that's what it was kind of happening in this game against Raheny. Out of nowhere, Raheny hit them with a late surge. They get a goal. The place is rocking. Like, I genuinely mean, I've not heard Parnell Park like that for a while. The place was rocking. Like, people were really, really getting behind Raheny. The fans were getting behind their team. They go 3 points in front. And it genuinely seemed like we were all in the media box and we were all looking at each other and we were thinking, like, oh my God, Kilmacud Crokes are out. They're out. Raheny have them. And then with one last attack, Luke Ward sticks it in the back of the net. With basically the entire Raheny team in front of him, he somehow finds a gap and sticks it in the net. And we couldn't believe that they got out of jail. That's what it felt like. They had gotten out of jail. And then immediately after, Sean McMahon had a chance to shoot. He didn't. I would have backed him to score if he did. Crokes get to extra time. Then they get to penalties. And God, talk about nerves. 5 penalties, 5 converted penalties. Not even a hint of a mess up, not even a hint of a mistake. Buried ruthlessly and past Rob Henley as well. So, like, not exactly an easy keeper to put the ball past, but all 5 of them brilliantly taking penalties. And I predicted them to beat Ballyboden in the final. I thought, like, they've gotten that wobble out of their system. They're not gonna, you know, blink now against Ballyboden, and they put Ballyboden to the sword. Shane Walsh's goal was unbelievable. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That game against Raheny was exactly what you would draw up if you wanted to see if a team still had the willpower, the fight, the grit, the determination to hold on to their titles. That's the perfect scenario to test it. It was presented to Crokes. They didn't blink. They found a way. And that's why they're still so dangerous. But this, I think, is even more difficult than that situation against Raheny.
Definitely so. And even you talk about the coast in front of the first half. You mentioned this in that some elements were present in the Raheny game. One game that stands out for me in the Leinster Championship was the RDA St. Mary's game. I wasn't watching the game now, but I was seeing the highlights and the match reactions to it. And it seemed like Kilmacud, they went ahead handsomely enough. Then RDA St. Mary's pulled them back. I think it was, what was it, 3 points, 2 points at some stage. And then Kilmacud go off again. But that was a warning sign too, that game against RDA St. Mary's, which could have been easier than it made out to be for Kilmacud Crokes in that game.
Yeah, no, that's it. And like, the Naas game was exactly the same. Like, do not be fooled. 114 to 10 points, 7-point victory looks easy, right? It wasn't. Naas were there neck and neck with them for long periods. And the Shane Walsh goal finished it off. They hit them with a late burst when Naas got desperate and they started looking for goals. And Kilmacud Crokes hit them on the counter with 1-2 in the last few minutes. And that really glossed the scoreboard up. But the reality is that it was a battle for 55 minutes and Crokes put them away in the last 5. So, like, the reality is they do look more vulnerable. than they did this time last year. Like this time last year, there wasn't a doubt in my mind Kilmacud Crokes were going to win the All-Ireland Championship. There wasn't a doubt in my mind. They hadn't stuttered at all throughout the championship. They hadn't stuttered. And I was convinced that they were going to win, and they did. This year, believe it or not, Matthew, even though I said that I think that they would win, I actually think they're going to lose to Glenn this weekend.
Interesting. We'll get on to our main. We'll get on to our main predictions after we get through Glenn's scoring and their journey to the final. So with the Derry Championship, it was a long slog. Really, they had nine games at the Derry Championship, which is actually a long championship when you think about it. They beat Dungiven, Labby, Coleraine, Swarta, Ballinascreen, Billahi, Kilray, and then similarly to Crokes, really, the semi-finals winner kickstart their season. They beat Schlochneil in a close encounter, 1-5 to 6 points. It was probably a closer encounter. Well, it was always going to be a close encounter, but people probably expected a classic with the likes of Shane McGuigan, Brendan Rodgers, Conor Glass, all on the pitch at the same time. But Glenn got over that line, but it seemed like a defensive game. Then they beat O'Donovan Rossa from Maharfelt in the final, 1-13 to 7 points. So that's a 9-point victory. They beat Cargan in the Ulster Championship, but Tomás McCann getting sent off proved a major turning point in that game. They beat Nate Quinnell by a point, and that was a last-minute point from Enid Bradley. Clutch players. We talk about clutch players in this chat already. He was definitely one in that game. And then they beat Scotstoun in the final by 2 points. They've averaged a concession rate of 10 points, a scoring rate of 112. So their defence seems to be strong. Their attack is nearly as strong. But even looking at their scores, now this is their scoring list from the Kilray game, the quarterfinal onwards, because I couldn't find the group stage because their group stage is so long and it's so hard to find match reports. But from that moment from the Kilray game, Danny Tallett's their top scorer with 2-7, but he's only scored 1 point from play since the quarterfinal. Take that stat what you will. Emmett Bradley has definitely stood up for about 12 points straight from play. Conor Glass and Kevin McGorty's one pundit on the JMAP podcast that is a really good pundit in that particular podcast. Check that podcast presented by John McMahon out if you haven't already. But he was crying out for Conor Glass last year to perform well when it matters against Kilmacud Crokes. In his opinion, he didn't last year. He scored 1-5 for play in this championship since the Kilray game. So, like, even look at Conor Glass for a minute. Like, does he need to have a good game in this game? And Emmett Bradley's performed well in midfield, no doubt about that. And he performed well enough against Kilmacud last year. But Conor Glass didn't probably perform to his utmost best. He probably needs to do that in this game for Wattie Graham Glen to win this game.
He does. There's no question about it. He is one of their most important players, and he's the key to establishing a midfield dominance for Glenn in this game, along with Bradley and McFaul. So if Glass has one of his day of days, he'll dominate this midfield. I really think like he's one of the best midfielders in anywhere in the country. And you look at Crokes, who will Crokes be bringing to the party? They'll be bringing either Craig Diaz that is not 100% fit, or they'll be bringing in Brian Sheehy or Mark O'Leary, who, as I said, it's their first year really being given a consistent crack in the starting lineup for Kilmacud Crokes. So it's a game where you'd fancy Conor Glass to potentially dominate this midfield if he's at his best. So, like, and that would give Glenn an unbelievable platform to potentially dominate this game. They could push up on Crokes. They could establish their dominance in this game and make Crokes play on their terms. I think Glass has to have a huge game for them. He wasn't at his best, you're right, in last year's final, which is one of the main reasons why Glenn weren't at their best. He's one of their most important players, if not their most important player. And so, I'll be keeping an eye on him because he's a vital operator.
No, I think it's prediction time now. You already said your prediction. You spoiled it for the viewers. You said Wattie Graham Glen would win this game. I went with you different to the other semi-final between Castlehaven and St. Bridget's. I'm going to agree with you on this. I think Wattie Graham Glen would win it as well. And the reason is, I'm going to say this, I said it from the start of the club championship, back in, I'd say, August or even September. I said Wattie Graham Glen would win the All-Ireland. And I say this because they have the doubt at their back in their minds, or the the probably vengeance is the right word at the back of their minds, thinking we nearly got cheated in that All Ireland final. Even though we didn't perform to our best, we did get cheated with the 17 players on the pitch. We have to go out and prove it now. We have to prove we're the best team in Ireland. And I think Malachy O'Rourke was thinking that at the start of the Derry Championship. They've slowly but surely got into their groove. And I think the game against Scotstown was a big win for them. Like, Scotstown have a lot of inter-county players. And for them, for Wally Grimsby then to win that game after a titanic battle in the Ulster final, I think it's going to be massive. And I think another key point in this, and this is nothing to do with the players, we mentioned earlier, the ground, Park Esler.
Yeah.
It is a tight pitch. It's a tight atmosphere. I think Wally Grimsby then will use that to their advantage as well and get over the line. But whatever way this goes, it's going to be a cracking atmosphere and probably one of the best sequels we've ever seen in a Gaelic games.
It will. There's no question about it. It will be one of the best sequels we've seen, particularly in the last decade. Like, you've got Kilmacud, who are like, they're the target for every club in Ireland to beat because they're the All-Ireland club champions. And the fact that they had the Shane Walsh saga doesn't exactly make them winning any popularity prizes in the country around. So I think Nick Newry will be packed full of people, not just from Glen, but from Derry, who are going to be supporting their team to try and take this game. It's going to be massive. It's going to be absolutely huge. The atmosphere is going to be incredible. I think if Glen do the following, I think that they will win. If Glen push right up on the Kilmacud Croaks kick out, don't let them have a short option. Make them kick it long. Into Conor Glass, Emmett Bradley and Kieran McFall. And if they're on their A game, which I think that they will be, because I don't think that they can allow to have a bad game under such big circumstances and such weight of expectation. I think that Glen will establish a bit of a dominance in midfield. I think they'll get a goal at a crucial stage early on, and that will keep them just their noses in front. And I think the combination of Michael Warnock, Cathal Mulholland, and as you said, the pitch, the conditions, the tight field, the tight, you know, stadium will just about have enough impact on Shane Walsh and Paul Mannion that they don't dominate the game. I think they'll still chip in with a few scores, but I think Glen, given the fact that they spread their scorers out, it's not as obvious who to try and stop in the forwards. I think Ethan Doherty will get like a couple of points. Ewan Mulholland might pop up with a couple of points. And I'd say Glen will win on a score of like a goal and 8 to 10 points, or like a goal and 9 to 11 points, like something that's really tight and narrow, but they just get over the line in what will be an absolutely battle. And like, as Denise says there, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it is after extra time.
Yeah, definitely. And it promises to be an absolute brilliant game, obviously live on TG Car in that particular game. And before we end the podcast, we're not going to preview these games in depth because we don't know much about the intermediate and junior teams. So I'm just going to mention some semi-finals if anybody wants to watch these games over the weekend as well. With the intermediate All-Ireland semi-finals between Alan Woods from Kildare, that's a club containing Owen Bagnall and Johnny Doyle. Johnny Doyle, remember him, 45 years of age from Kildare. He's going to be playing in this game against St. Patrick's, Cullyhanna from Armagh, and they have the likes of Jason Duffy, Ross McQuillan, and Aidan Nugent in their team. So that is going to be an absolute cracker. That's on at 1 o'clock on TG Car YouTube. You then have Castlereagh St. Kevin's from Roscommon. To be honest, I don't know much about them. They're playing against Cork's Kilnamatra, who beat Milltown Castlemaine from Kerry and were named, obviously, the Gaelic Statsman Club of the Year in shock terms in the awards as well. That game is on at 2:30, also live on Sport TG Car. Then you have the junior semi-finals on as well. You have Lahardan McHales, I think, from Galway, or they're from Connacht anyway. They're coming up against Listowel Emmets from Kerry. That's on at 1 o'clock on TG Car YouTube. And then you have Arva from Cavan against Milltown from Kildare. So obviously Arva, this is a huge day for Cavan football in general, because Cavan club seem to don't necessarily do well in All-Ireland series, and this is a huge chance for them to get to an All-Ireland final, and they're playing Milltown from Kildare. And best of luck to all those 8 teams this weekend, and best of luck to the 4 senior teams as well this weekend. And we'll end the podcast there. Thanks for anybody that's tuned in, and thanks to Seamus for coming on today to tune in to these games and tune into the preview of these games. Thanks to Seamus for coming on today, and enjoy the games at the weekend.
Thank you, Matthew. You too.